The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Black History Month for me is I think it's an amazing thing. To celebrate black leaders is massive.
It means recognition.
To make sure that everyone's equal, and there's been some historic figures throughout the years that have changed lives, changed the path of how things and how the world is going. And I think it's important that we definitely celebrate those guys.
It means power.
It's all about respect. Everybody around the world has to understand we are all different, and we have to respect each other, we have to love each other.
It means equality.
People have to start to understand who happens in the past was wrong and can happen in the future or in the present. We have to learn now is a new generation who wants the equality for everyone.
February is Black History Month here in the United States, so an apt backdrop to the Premier League announcing an action plan in continued support of their No Room for Racism campaign. The plan outlined six commitments: creating pathways for executives, coaches and players, supporting communities, taking action against racism and embedding equality. The leaders of English football took further action on Thursday, writing a letter to Jack Dorsey and Mark Zuckerberg, the CEOs of Twitter and Facebook respectively, in light of the recent social media abuse of players and officials. Now, part of that letter read, "We write to ask that for reasons of basic human decency, you use the power of your global systems to bring this to an end. The reality is your platforms remain havens for abuse. Your inaction has created the belief in the minds of the anonymous perpetrators that they are beyond reach. The relentless flow of racist and discriminatory messages feeds on itself. The more it is tolerated, the more it becomes normal, accepted behaviour." Now, they went on in this letter to make requests that include messages and posts should be filtered and blocked before being sent or posted if they contain racist or discriminatory material. You should operate measures to take down abusive material. All users should be subject to an improved verification process that allows for accurate identification, and your platforms assist the investigating authorities in identifying the originators of illegal discriminatory material. They continued, "Players, match officials, managers and coaches of any origin and background and at any level of football should be able to participate in the game without having to endure illegal abuse. We will do everything we can to protect them, but we cannot succeed until you change the ability of offenders to remain anonymous. We call for meetings with your organisations to discuss the evidence of abuse on your platforms, the action you're taking and how you plan to directly address the matters outlined in this letter." Well, we will talk about that letter in just a second. I want to go back to that action plan, though, Robbie Earle. Six points to it. They're doing everything they can to try and move the conversation forward. What's your reaction to the action plan?
They deserve some credit, the Premier League and the players, Rebecca. If we go back to Project Restore and Black Lives Matter on the back of pleasures, and probably the first league where the players en masse, white and black, took a knee. And the thing we're taking a knee is, I think it's important and it highlights a point and gets part of the conversation. But at some point, you have to get up off that knee and start conversations and get actions. And we've seen some actions now from the Premier League. The six-step actions I love. Love how it's presented, love how it reads, love what it's trying to do. What I'm not sure is what will be the outcome. I've been there before, Rebecca. I've seen this kind of thing. I've worked on some of these kind of things, and we haven't seen enough change. Now the question is, Premier League really ready to make real change?
Well, the open letter as well, very strongly worded to Facebook and to Twitter. Do you think that those global systems, as he calls them, will start to make changes, the ones that are asked for?
Recent evidence, no. And I'm having to read this out because I couldn't believe what I was reading. So Jan Dander, who plays for Swansea, he was sent racist abuse through Facebook. Facebook came out and put, the person who sent the message has been restricted from sending messages for a set period of time. And then they went on to say, we think it's important people have the opportunity to learn from their mistakes. I could not believe what I was reading. And it echoes completely what Robbie's just said.
It has to be zero tolerance. No, learn from mistakes.
Absolutely zero tolerance. And we don't know, is it, you know, suspended from what, a day, a week, a month? You know, what all of a sudden are people going to do? Verification is at the heart of it. Education piece comes in as well. And under no circumstances should a player of colour, of different culture, background, different diversity, have to be subject to these things and people allowed to get away with it, then that's sending all the wrong messages, what we're hearing from social media at the moment.
OK, well, we're having the conversation. The Premier League continues to have the conversation. Let's hope everybody is listening. Now, coming up for you here on NBCSN on February the 22nd, you can watch Micah Richards tackling racism. It's a really powerful documentary that features the former Manchester City and England defender exploring racism in football and what can be done to resolve the issue. That's February the 22nd, 5:30 p.m. Eastern here on NBCSN. Leicester's comeback, Danny, absolutely overshadowed that quite remarkable piece of footwork there from Bobby Firmino and another error from Alisson. What are you putting these defeats now? Three in a row for Jurgen Klopp's men. They're dropping like a stone. What are you putting down to?
I think when you look at Liverpool, one of the things that stands out for me is that if you look at the last 12 goals they've conceded, they've all been in the second half. Now, we know Henderson's playing at centre-back. We know Fabinho's played at centre-half as well. I look at the midfield three today, Wijnaldum, Jones, Thiago. There's no real leader in there.
Well, it was Milner, but of course he went off injured.
Yes.
He is a leader, but he went off injured.
He is, but I would still say more often than not, if you haven't got a Henderson in there, if you haven't got a Fabinho in there, I think it's very difficult. And Robbie, you know, as a central midfielder, there's going to be times when you've got to say, we've got to sit. We've got to sit. We've got to protect the defence. Because if you look at Leicester's last two goals, both from counter-attacks, and that's a huge issue for them, I think, at the moment. When you haven't got Henderson or Fabinho in that central midfield area to dictate the game, to know when to slow the game down, to know when to speed it up, I think it becomes an issue and then that leads to mistakes.
Fabinho was injured again, but he didn't have to play Henderson at centre-half. He did have Nat Phillips on the bench. Davis did pick up an injury. I mean, are we starting to get to the point where Henderson at centre-half is costing them game after game after game, not because of his play at centre-half, but because of his lack of play in the midfield?
I think that's a little bit harsh. In my view, in terms of the Liverpool and that defensive situation, they still play a high line, Rebecca, regardless of who they're playing against. The two turnovers that we see and the ball goes in behind, Kabak is coming to this team and, in fairness, he's not probably ready yet. But in a high line that they're playing, you've got to know that position. Danny, you'll know. You've got to be spot on with those kind of decisions. You've got to know when to go high, when it's time to drop off. And when you've got someone like Vardy and Barnes who always want to run in, you can't be heading in that direction when the ball's coming the opposite way. Now, for me, a couple of things that stand out to me. Decision-making. At both ends of the pitch are costing Liverpool. At one end of the pitch, they're not taking enough of their chances. We saw one goal from Mo Salah today. At the other end of the pitch, the goalkeeper has given them problems that we hadn't seen coming. He's been brilliant for his time. So that's an issue. The other thing I would say with this team of late, they're not handling a disappointment on the pitch in the way they used to. There isn't that resilience. There isn't that fight. They get 1-1, all of a sudden 2-1, all of a sudden 3-1 in just over six minutes. That's not the team that we knew last season.
I think the problem that you have there, though, Robbie, is when we talk about Henderson, when we talk about Fabinho, we know that if Van Dijk's playing, if Gomez is playing, you can play that high line. You've got the pace that gives you that insurance, and that's something that works so well for Liverpool. But at the moment, your two centre-backs at times, they are dropping deeper, so there's a space for number 10 in there. We saw Foden playing as a false nine. And because there's no Henderson or Fabinho anchoring that midfield and sitting there, the gaps are too big, so then centre-backs go up and that's where they get exploited.
Well, huge credit to Leicester City. They win a game, we don't even talk about them, but maybe that's their power. They're into second in the Premier League and no one is talking about them.
Jamie, well done. How did you pull that one off? 3-1 after trailing 1-0.
Yeah, well, we had myself personally as well, had a few chances in the first half, just wasn't to be, and we knew if we kept going but put a bit more pressure on higher up the pitch that we'd carry on getting chances. Like I said, we've conceded a goal that probably disappointed with not getting tight enough, but we've never never stopped playing how we wanted to, changed formation slightly towards the end and paid us dividends.
Did it perhaps hinge on that VAR decision, Madison's goal, the equaliser?
Yeah, possibly, but I think we were starting to get the momentum, so I think we'd have knuckled in all the way to the last minute to try and get a result, and you've seen at the end we've got it back to 1-1, but we've not stopped, we've carried on and obviously wanting to get the 3 points, which we've done.
You pounced on that mistake from Alisson. Did you sense that he might be vulnerable after his well-publicised errors last week?
No, nothing like that. You just anticipate that it could be a ricochet and it falls to you, or like try playing it through to Barnsley. Barnsley might get in, be able to square it. So I've just gambled, and luckily it's ricocheted straight into my path and just made sure by taking my time and putting it in.
Brendan, that was an amazing fight back. You must be very satisfied.
Yeah, very proud of the team. I think that probably a year ago, Des, if we would have went behind in the game, we would have been disappointed and not got something from it. But I thought in the first half we had the best chances in the game. We obviously had to withstand pressure, and obviously they have good quality. But once we got through the pressure, we had some really good chances. I said to the players at half-time, we needed to be more aggressive in the game. I felt that it was too passive at times when we were defending. And I thought in the second half we were much better in our defensive aggression. And then that then allows you then to attack the game with more aggression as well. And we scored, obviously, the 3 goals. The players adapted really well. We had a plan in terms of if we were behind in the game, that, you know, the shape that we would go to, and the players worked it brilliantly and got the goals. Yeah. So, really happy.
Jürgen, I expect you might feel you threw away a victory really today.
Yeah, it was a clear game which we should win. We played really good football. We had a clear better side. Dominated the game, possession. Took pretty much everything out of the Leicester game. No counter-attacks. Yeah, of course, first half we had a counter-attack, but it's difficult to avoid it. When Ozan slipped, I think, then Jamie hits the crossbar. Apart from that, we were really top in the game, played really good football. Yeah, score a goal. Could have, should have scored more earlier, whatever. But score that goal. Still dominant, everything fine. And then penalty, free kick. Offside, no offside, goal, and that had a proper impact in that game, to be honest. And that's something we have to change. Yeah. But the goal now, the first goal, for me it's offside, I have to say. I know in the end refs are always right, but the difference is we think it's an objective thing, but it's not. Because somebody makes the decision when they start judging the situation. And I saw the situation when Bobby's foot might have been slightly closer to the goal, which I'm still not sure about, but I would say that's probably right. The ball, he didn't even touch the ball. Madison didn't touch the ball yet, so he has to touch the ball so that we judge the situation. And a millisecond later, 3 players off Leicester are offside. But Mr. Altwell decided to take another point, another moment in the game. And that's how it is. Good, we concede that goal. Things like this can happen. And then the second goal is a misunderstanding, obviously. So we said before the game, we need to get used to each other. We had time, but this is a situation where we probably should shout. I didn't hear anybody shouting in that moment. That's not too cool. And then Vardy, easy goal. And the third one, I really don't like. We are too open for in that situation. I understand, but that's something I cannot accept, that we are in a situation like this, so open. We just pass the ball in their feet and then next pass alone in front of the goal. That doesn't help. So that's the game. The performance for 75 minutes roundabout was outstanding, and we lost 3-1. That shows in which kind of tricky situation we are.
I'm only going to ask you one more question because I think you've covered most things, but James Milner came off early. Another injury is the last thing that you need at the moment. What's Milner's problem?
Hamstring. I think. Yeah, that's what he said. We hope that he felt only a little bit, but he didn't want to take the risk. We didn't want to take the risk, so we took him off, but we'll see how it develops. But yeah, it's hamstring.
So are you conceding the title then, Jürgen?
Yes, I can't believe, but yes.
fascinating soundbite there as he concedes the title. He's obviously a very subdued man right now. We know his mother passed away in Germany, Elizabeth, at the age of 81, and he couldn't go to the funeral because of the COVID restrictions. And he talked this week to a German newspaper about how much she meant to her. And of course, if that happened to anybody, it's a terribly difficult thing. Add into that the pressure as Liverpool manager, defending champions, and they're on a really bad run. Yeah. And he has now conceded the title. The words that he said there, I can't believe, but yes. It feels like it's all happened quite quickly, Robbie.
That was hard to watch, Rebecca. And what was it, only a week or so ago, we're playing Manchester City. If they beat Manchester City, we're talking about they're still in the title, right? All of a sudden, he's now saying that they're out of it. And I just think back to the day when we were in this studio, and was it the Chelsea beat Man City and they won the title, and he came on in tears. The emotion of winning the title, of delivering a title for Liverpool, for 30 years, this guy was in tears. That was what the emotion meant to him. And then, what, February, the season after, he's now conceding that they can't win it again. He looks a broken man, Rebecca. And it almost might be that a few people around the club will have to get around him and just keep him going at the moment.
Danny, we've seen this happen at other clubs before. You win a title, as Robbie says. Yeah. You put so much effort into winning that title. And then the next season, it falls away. Is that because the sheer mental application and emotion that goes into winning a title can just drain some people?
I think so. When you look at the champions of years gone by, the teams that we remember are the ones that then go and defend that title. I think for Liverpool, one of the things was that the emotion that we saw from Klopp, the emotion that we saw from everybody attached with to Liverpool was that it'd been such a long time since he'd won the previous title. I think it was all the emotions coming out then. And, you know, when you win the Premier League, all of a sudden you're after everybody then. Sorry, everybody's after you then. And I think for a lot of neutrals last season as well, they wanted Liverpool to win the league because it had been so long. Now it's flipped. Mm. It's flipped over and it's like, right, OK, well, they're at the top. Let's see if we can bring them down.
Let's give Leicester City some credit, because in 7 minutes, less than 7 minutes, they've taken the game from 1-0 down to a comfortable victory, 3-1 winners. What impressed you most about how Brendan Rodgers went out in that second half to grab this game by the scruff of his neck?
I think it's the fact, when you look at Leicester City, they're a team that predominantly they've been seen as a counter-attacking team, but over the years they've evolved into a possession-based team. They've got a number of players that can play in different positions. And when we talk about injuries, you look at Leicester City, they've missed big players. Ndidi, Soyuncu, Justin, you know, it's a real shame he's just done it.
Pereira.
His ACL.
Yeah.
Pereira. Mm-hmm. Vardy as well. Mm-hmm. They're huge players, but they have carried on and they've just gone about things without anybody talking about the injuries and things like that. And they've been absolutely sensational. And the fact of what I like about Brendan Rodgers is the way that he progresses players, the way that he brings players on, because there's so many players at that club that were here and now right up here, and that's testament.
There's not going to be a tail-off, is there, like last year?
No, it's interesting. You asked me today what's different about this team, and I said I think it's the mentality, Rebecca. And it is, because you know what? At 1-0 down, having played reasonably well, they could have sort of said, oh, it's not going to be our day. Slight change of system, new energy, got the goal back, ran all over Liverpool at that stage. This group looked to me like they've got the bit between the teeth, and it's like they're going to prove a point this year. They're going to prove that they are one of the top four. And I've got to tell you, the way they're going, you wouldn't bet against them.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Jose, what did you make of it?
What do I make? A fresh team against a very tired team. But a team that started the game very, very well, with the game completely controlled. Hit the post, 1-0, that could give us that fuel that you need when you are especially tired like the boys were. And then one more of these modern penalties, I call them modern penalties, to put us in a difficult situation. But very, very happy with the players' attitude. I had guys on the pitch that played 2 hours a couple of days ago. They gave everything. Of course, we had guys in difficulty. Lucas was the one that I took at half-time, but I had other guys on the pitch in such a difficult situation, but brave attitude, great dignity. Of course, losing 3-0, a team that is not united, a team that is not together, would give up and probably would be punished in a way where the team didn't deserve at all. But I saw guys like Harry, like Pierre, Ben, just to tell three names, I could give you 5, 6 or 7, give you everything. So I have nothing to say against my players, not even a couple of defensive mistakes that are always present, but I cannot complain with the attitude of the boys.
What do you call a modern penalty?
Modern penalty is the penalty where even if you touch with a nail inside of the box, can be a penalty. Of course, depends on the opponent, depends on the team. But for some, you touch with a nail is a penalty. Then you go to the VAR, and the VAR cannot deny that there was a touch. Sometimes with the toe, sometimes with the nail, sometimes with the nose. You cannot then deny that there was a contact. So that's what I call the modern penalties.
Well done, Pep. What did you make of the result and the performance that brought it?
Well, we beat an exceptional team. So their pace, when you lose the ball with Song, the connection came on. So, but in general, okay, we concede, they hit the post. And of course, this situation can change the game. And the last action from Gareth Bale, they didn't anything else. So that is so good in terms of defensively commitment. They put a lot of players inside, so sometimes they break the lines and you suffer a little bit, but we defend well. And in terms of playing with the ball was really good, really good, really good, especially when the second half. After the second goal, it was easy, of course, but yeah, another victory, important against good team. And yeah, continue good rhythm.
Is that what you liked, the way your team responded to the problems that they were posing you in the early part of the game?
But the early part of the game was one action, so had to avoid the fault. The fault, it was not much dangerous to concede this fault, and with these takers, Harry Kane, Song or whatever, is always difficult. But the beginning was comfortable, so we didn't concede anything. And we against Jose teams, you have to be more patient. So because they defend really well in terms of deep and wind duels, physicality is outstanding. And we struggle in the first half, especially to control the ones against one in the middle. So we were dribbled so easy. So it's not terms to take the ball. It's not be dribbled. That's enough. Because Dembele, Lamela, Lucas Moura and Song have the ability to dribble. And after that, they attack the next line. And the second half was better. And of course, football is like this. The first 5 minutes were not good. And immediately we scored a second goal. Sometimes happen. And in that moment, the game was much, much better.
Ilkay Gundogan came off holding his groin. How serious is it?
We'll see tomorrow. He said there's nothing. He was tight, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see the next days. Tomorrow, day after tomorrow.
He scored, of course. Has Rodri done enough to convince you that he is now Manchester City's penalty taker?
No. The taker was not good. We were lucky. So, but I love and admire the courage to take it. But it was not a good taker. Today was not a good taker because we were lucky.
Should we give Edison not one but two assists today? One for the information on the penalty and also for the pass.
Well, I don't know what information from Bernardo Silva. Maybe he said to Bernardo, limit to take the penalty. I don't know. But always I think with Ederson, with one step, is able to make this assist to Gundogan, this 40 meters pass. So always I thought, so 11 meters, so
again and score a goal. So for the quality, for the touch, Ederson is the best.
Hard to argue with that. 7 points clear now at the top of the table. Plus, they've got a game in hand, Danny, on Leicester. Played the same number of games as Manchester United. Are they unstoppable?
Yeah. It's strange because we were talking off camera and saying that it looked as though it was going to be an unbelievable Premier League race in terms of the amount of teams that could be challenging for it. But Manchester City, it's as though they were cruising the first part of the season and then they've gone, okay, yeah, teams are starting to get a little bit further away from us. Let's just pull them back in and we'll take control. And they've been absolutely irresistible. Phenomenal.
You were saying earlier on in the show that it really hinged on the draw against West Brom in December when the players got together, Robbie. And after that, they've been unbeaten.
Which tells you everything about a football club in a dressing room. When the players take ownership of it, Rebecca, you know you've got something. When Fernandinho sits the players down and says, we're not doing enough, we're not the same team, these things we can do. And then I'll add to that, and this is the interesting bit, where Guardiola listens to what's been said, talks to his backroom staff, and the two things come together. And they say, as a football club, we've got to change what we're doing and maybe change a little bit the way we're playing to get results. We've seen that go on. As we were watching Pep there and we saw Jose, part of me thinking, if the Spurs players, Harry Kane had an interview and said, you know what, Gaffer, we don't like the way we're playing because we're too defensive in that. I don't think Jose Mourinho would listen one bit.
So humility is a part to play in this?
I think so. And listen, to his strength, Jose Mourinho's played a certain way and won trophies. But I look at Ndombele, I look at Lamela, I look at Lucas. They're not getting the best out of those players in a system that's just about sitting behind the ball and counter-attacking because those players really aren't doing the things that they enjoy, which we see on the inner city side.
But we knew that this would happen with Mourinho. We knew that he'd play a system not suited to a lot of those players, Danny. We shouldn't be surprised.
We shouldn't, but the thing is that when you look at Mourinho, over the years, he's been one of the greatest managers in world football. And when you listen to the top managers around, more often than not, they will say, when they go into a new club, I have to play what suits the players. As time evolves, I will then bring them round to my way of playing or bring players in that are going to be able to do that and adjust. Mourinho hasn't done that. Mourinho's gone in and said, right, well, this is the way I want to play. And the players then are being asked to fit that category. But a lot of the players don't fit that system. They haven't got that leader at the back, that one player that they can rely on. There's been seven different centre-back partnerships. And that, for me, is an issue with a team that's trying to get success. You need that solidity within your back.
But in that, Dan, and the teams he's had, Rebecca, and it's a word he uses a lot when things are going well, he trusts people in his team. Yeah. He trusts his defence. This defence are not going to be breached. And then from there, we can win a game. Jose Mourinho probably is one of the only coaches in the Premier League who wants to control a game without possession. It's almost like unheard of now in modern football, but he hasn't got the kind of players defensively who can keep that clean sheet that's going to give him the win.
I also think because of the lack of trust, there are certain players that aren't able to give everything in front of the back four, in front of the back three, because they're doing like one and a half man's jobs. They're not just doing their own job, they're also having to cover the teammate as well. And that's why we saw, and a prime example of it today was Gundogan. He's been in unbelievable scoring form, but he was able to navigate through the defence of Spurs because Højbjerg was dragged over somewhere else where he didn't want to be. You want him in the middle, but that's the problem they're having.
Danny Higginbotham, what is holding Manchester United back right now?
Defensive lapses. There's no way. When you look at Manchester United, the last three games, he scored 13 goals. 13 goals in three games and won only one game. And that, for me, is an issue. Going forward, they're a match for anybody. But when you look at them defensively, yes, they have been relatively strong. They've got the worst defensive record in the top nine. But it's situations where a lot of the goals they concede, I don't think the opposition have to do unbelievably well to get those goals.
Are we talking Lindelof and Maguire?
I think Lindelof and Maguire, the issue that I have with Lindelof and Maguire, I think they're both very good centre-backs, but they're too similar. They're too similar. You need one that wants to be the one that wants to go and win the ball and the other one that then's going to drop off. And that's where Baye comes in. So I don't know whether, obviously you as a central midfielder, Robert, is that how you liked it? Opposites as in terms of that central midfield?
I'll tell you what if I could get the best of Baye and the best of Lindelof, I'm happy. It's like...
And what about Maguire?
Next to Maguire.
Oh, OK.
Next to Maguire.
OK.
Not the worst of Maguire. But
we lost the United captain for a second there.
Maguire's going to play.
OK.
But just the Lindelof's not as athletic. I think Baye makes some rash decisions, and that's one of the problems. I think one of the problems with Manchester United as a whole is, and it's the reason why I was saying they're in a title race, but I don't see them doing it, because over 38 games, still, Rebecca, we don't know consistently what we're going to get. You go away to West Bromwich Albion and you concede a goal in 2 minutes and you're chasing Manchester City to win a title. You're not going to do that. You go 2-0 up against Everton, go 3-2 up against Everton and don't get all 3 points. You're not going to run down Manchester City at the top of the table.
I think as well, when you look at Bruno Fernandes, he was relatively quiet today. Scored an unbelievable goal. But the difference between Manchester United and Manchester City is that if you stop one or two Manchester City players, they're still other match winners. And I think Bruno Fernandes, you keep him quiet to a certain extent, you're stopping United.
Are you still in it, Harry? Still in the title race?
Well, of course we are. We've got to look after ourselves. We've got to go again and win the next one, and then win the next one. Obviously, Manchester City are on a great run at the moment. They've created a points gap, but we've got to look after ourselves. We've got to fight. We've got to fight for every game. It's disappointing today. We come here, we was in a good mood, good confidence, good preparation. We've had 5 days to prepare, so that feels long in this season. So it's disappointing because, like I say, I think we did enough to win the game. We've got to take our chances. When they're playing such a deep block, it's the chances are, don't come. You're never going to come here and create 10 chances, 10 clear-cut chances. When they come, the big moments, we've got to take them. And obviously, going a goal behind, we shot ourselves in the foot and it's made it difficult for ourselves.
Ola, what's the feelings, the emotions after that one? Does it feel like, well, 2 points dropped, but then West Brom had big chances in that second half as well?
Well, so did we. So, of course, it's it was a game that you should come away with more, creating more chances, scoring more goals. But then when we try to play put men forward, of course, there's two or three times they counter-attack and it's about stopping them earlier. Well done by David. Saves really well twice there from Diagne. Apart from that, the cross, yeah, it stretches for the last one, the guy. So it's a decent chance, but and it's one of them that when you start the way you do, you get a goal against you in the first minute. It's always going to be difficult. And I'm an ex forward, so it's not like I'm going to say it's a big foul against Victor. But why did Harris goal against Burnley? I know I'm going back the way.
I remember the game, yeah.
Exactly. So what's the consistency here? There's absolutely no consistency in any of the decisions.
Well, Danny, that's what you were saying earlier on with the Southampton Wolves game as well, a lack of consistency with the refereeing decisions. If they finish second, would that be acceptable this season?
Yes, I think it would be progress, Rebecca. The distance would be interesting, having been so close. This is a team, and I saw statistically, they struggle and drop more points against bottom three teams than they do top four, which is a worry. If you're going to win titles, you have to take care of business on days like they do today, and they weren't able to do that. And the only saving grace is Manchester City drew with West Bromwich Albion. Since that time, have gone unbeaten. Let's see about Man United.
Thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. And the point of dropping points against the so-called lesser teams, it's not because they can't open up teams. In my opinion, it's because they have to play a higher line then, and we go back to Lindelof and Maguire. There's little pace within the centre-backs there, and there is space in behind. And West Brom really should have exploited it more than what they did.
Okay.
Do you think they really believe, though, in that they can win a title? I don't ever get the sense that really was there. That real deep-down belief. We can do it.
I think there's more of a belief than last season because I think everybody expected Manchester City, Liverpool this season. So there's more of a belief, but I agree with you. I don't think there's the ultimate belief there to be challenging right at the top.
Well, he may be saying something different to his players, but to the public and to the press, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer are saying they are not title contenders. They should not be considered. That was a few days ago. I'm afraid we have had more news of a player once again being racially abused on social media. Anthony Martial, after United's draw with the Baggies, received the abuse on his Instagram account. It comes just days since his teammate Axel Tuanzebe was also subjected to racist abuse on social media. Instagram have said they will impose stricter penalties to prevent these kinds of incidents. However, as of now, we do seem to be reporting this on a weekly basis.
Oba, you're back and with your first Premier League hat-trick for Arsenal. How good does it feel to be clutching that match ball?
Yeah, happy, really happy. And my kids are going to be happy because they're going to get it. But yeah, really happy about the performance from the team today. We knew that it's going to be a hard game. They never gave up till the end. They fought a lot, so I think we had a good game management at the end and we won this game.
Timo, having gone so long without one, how good is it to be back amongst the goals?
Yeah,
I think the first half was really good for us. We played very good football. We played in the last weeks very good football. I'm happy that I scored finally. And still a long way to go for the rest of the season. And when we keep going like this, I think it would be a good end for us.
You'd been making assists, you'd won penalties, you'd been hitting the woodwork, but ultimately, is what most matters to you, is scoring.
Yes, of course. I think as a striker, you always want to score. The last month was not so that I was happy without scoring, but at the end, it's a team sport, and when we win, everything is good. When I help my team with assists, with winning penalties, and now with scoring, I'm happy, and I'm very glad about it that I scored today.
How did you deal with it mentally? Did you feel that if I keep getting the positions, it will come? I've just got to be patient, keep believing.
Yeah, I think for a striker, it's much worse when you don't come into the situation and you don't have chances. And I think I had in the past a lot of chances, and I missed them. And also today, my team bring me a lot of situations where I can score, and that's the important thing for me. That I when I keep going, the goals will come like today, and also the assists.
Having said that, when you scored, it went to VAR, a potential handball. Were you thinking, come on, give me a break?
Yes, I said to the bench, would be still my past, because when it would be handball or something else, and the goal doesn't count, would be right to the story. But at the end, I'm happy.
Your goal and an assist as well takes Chelsea back into the top four, first time since December. How important is that?
Really important. I think that's really important for us that we reach the Champions League at the end. We started the season, everybody said we are one of the title favourites of the title. I think the last two months showed that we are not. And we have a lot of work to do, that we close the gap to City, to other clubs. But now, I think the football we played, the games we win was not so easy games. So it showed us that we can, and when we make a development like we do it the last few weeks, we can reach the top four, but also look for the next year for more.
Thank you, Timo.
Thank you.
Robbie, let's stay with Timo Werner. We saw the frustration, we saw the determination, then finally the relief.
Well, when you buy a centre-forward for $60 million, a German international, you expect the goals. And in the game today, he had chances early on. He got involved where he had a couple of bad touches. He gets himself a bloody lip. Part of the Premier League, you have to get used to that. He has helped in assisting goals, and that's an important part of his play as well. This great movement, turn of pace to allow the chance for Giroud to get his goal. But you've got to keep getting in there. You've got to keep believing you're going to score. And he did in the end. It's not the greatest, most beautiful goal he'll score, but it's so important that they can get him firing and scoring goals, because he's going to be an important part of what Chelsea are going to do in the future.
It might not be the most gorgeous goal, but it's going to be one that just feels fantastic. It had been 100 days. It had been 1,000 minutes. He gets the goal, but it's really about keeping the ball out of their own net, and that's something that's been a theme under Tuchel.
There's two things that stands out to me with Thomas Tuchel. The first being, obviously, when he first came in, they were the 11th best defence in the league. Now they've got the joint second best, because what they're making sure is that they can't be caught on a counter-attack. So instead of having three players behind the ball, they've now got four players. They'll have two of the back three, because Aspilicueta will go and join in, but Jorginho and Kovacic will then give that protection. But one of the biggest things that I've seen with him is his man management skills. Now, when you speak to managers, one of the things that they will always say to you is, it's not about keeping the players that are playing happy, it's about the other players. And if you look after the games, in particular today, first two plays he goes up to, Reece James and N'Golo Kanté, they're the plays he needs to keep happy, because they're not playing at the moment. And he understands that from a man management side of things. And that's huge. And that might be one of the main reasons Timo Werner's starting to get going now.
The other thing I would look at, and makes a good point, Alonso, Hudson-Odoi, Rudiger, Kepa, Azpilicueta maybe, were pretty much on the outside in the last regime. This guy's come into this football club and said, I'm not going to worry about what people have told me about you. I'm not going to worry about past reports. I'm going to see things with my own eyes. And that freshens the whole place up. Everybody in that dressing room now thinks they've got a chance.
Mm. On the other side, Newcastle, how nervous should they be?
Very. They could find themselves going into their next game against Manchester United if Fulham win their next two games, just 1 point ahead. And they've got a goal scorer that's missing. He's also got the most assists. So it's worrying times for Newcastle.
It's time to forget Callum Wilson. What this Newcastle United team don't need to do is go, well, we lost. We haven't got Callum Wilson. By the way, nobody else in the league cares that you haven't got Callum Wilson, especially teams like Fulham. They've got to find a way to score goals while he gets himself fit.
That does it for this edition of the Premier League on NBC podcast. Be sure to check out other episodes where you'll get a collection of our most spirited in-studio debates, as well as exclusive on-site access. Plus, don't miss out on Premier League mornings, weekends at 7 a.m. Eastern on NBCSN and Peacock Premium. Bye for now.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.